Well, there was a little boy who was afraid of the dark, like most children. He didn't like the dark. But one night his mother said to him, "Son, I need you to go out on the back porch and get the broom for me." He said, "Mom, I don't want to do that. It's dark out there and I'm afraid. I don't want to go get the broom." And she said, "Son, I need you to go get the broom. You're going to be okay. Just run out, grab it, come back in. You'll be fine." "No, Mama, I don't want to go out and get the broom. It's dark and I'm afraid." And she said, "Well, son, you know, remember what they said in church? God is everywhere. Jesus is everywhere. Jesus is out on the back porch. He's going to be with you, so don't worry about it. You sure it's going to be okay, Mama?" "Yeah, sure, it's all right." So he goes and puts his hand on the back door knob, and he turns it and closes his eyes, and he cracks the door open just a little bit, deciding what to do. He thrusts his arm out into the darkness, and he says, "Jesus, if you're out there, Mama said, give me the broom." Well, you get the point, right? You get the point. We've all been there. What is the dark place in your life? What is the thing that you are afraid of this day? Earlier this week, Robert Turnbull and I had an opportunity to go to lunch with two people from a local organization. While we were eating lunch with them, one of the individuals turned to me and he said to me, "What keeps you awake at night?" I was taken back a little bit. I think the first thought that went through my mind is, I've been sleeping pretty good, but now that you ask me that question, I don't know. Maybe I need to rethink this, right? But no, his question was good. He said, "You know, what are you afraid of? What keeps you up at night?" Maybe you've seen the car magnets or the t-shirts. Ain't scared. S-K-E-E-R-E-D. Ain't scared. Or no fear. I wonder, is that really what that person experiences in life? Or is that more of a wish than it is an actual reality? My guess is, as Dr. Hamilton said in his prayer this morning, all of us know and understand fear all too well. For at some level, fear is a part of all of our lives. When things go bump in the night, when life turns upside down or begins to crumble, when the storms of life rage in the darkness of the night, it's natural, it's normal. We are afraid. So what keeps you up at night? What is the greatest fear in your life? You know, it seems to me there is a conflict between our experience of life and what the scripture says in our passage for today. Because if we're honest, most of us will say, yes, from time to time we do experience fear. And yet, in our passage for today, it's very clear. Perfect love drives out all fear. Verse 18, there is no fear in love. Perfect love drives out fear because love has to do with punishment, John writes. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Now, we read those words and we hear those words and we think to ourselves, okay, John is telling us that as a Christian, I do not need to be afraid. In fact, we should not be afraid, John says. God's perfect love has come into our lives and we are now free from fear. There is no need to be afraid, for there is no fear in love. John says, as clearly as he possibly can, Christians are to live without fear. But is that our experience? I remember the very first church I pastored, we were studying through the book of 1 John on Sunday evenings. We still had Sunday evening church at that time, and it was a small little church, and on Sunday evenings, 15, 20 people would come to church, and interestingly enough, I don't know why, they all sat on the back two rows of the sanctuary, right? So I just got the lectern and took it up down the aisle, and we just had church at the back of the church every Sunday night. But we were going through 1 John, and we got to chapter 4, and we got to this passage for today, and we read it, and I started waxing eloquently, and I started teaching, and I started saying, we don't need to be afraid of anything. God's love has driven fear out of our lives, and as Christians, there's no need for us to be afraid of anything in this world. Well, it all sounded pretty good, but it was then that Edith Carwile raised her hand. Edith was in her late 80s at that time. She was a very faithful member of our church. She was our pianist on Sunday evening. She played by ear. She couldn't read music at all, but she could play any hymn in any key just by ear. And she would play for us on Sunday evening. Well, that night, when I said that, she raised her hand and she said, but I am afraid. She said, at night, when it gets dark and I'm at home by myself, I'm afraid. And I've prayed to God, she said. I've prayed and I've asked God, God, take this fear away from me. But I'm still afraid. And she asked, is it wrong for me to be afraid? It's a great question. It sounds good for us to say as Christians, we shouldn't be afraid of anything. Theoretically, it's true. In our minds, we know that that makes sense. But the reality of the matter is, I'm not sure being afraid is a matter of right or wrong. It just is. And I think there are times in our lives when it's only natural that we are afraid. If you're in your bed at night and you're asleep or you're trying to sleep and something crashes in your kitchen and you're startled and you jump up, are you afraid? Most of us would say yes in that situation. And we read this passage and our mind says, don't be afraid of anything in this world. But our heart says, but we are afraid. There are times in our lives when we are afraid. What do we do with that? Some faithful Christians, some of the most faithful Christians who have ever lived, have experienced fear. In 1943, the German minister and theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer was arrested and he was thrown into prison for speaking out against Adolf Hitler. Bonhoeffer was eventually to become a martyr for his faith. He would die because of his outspoken comments about the Nazi regime. But in 1943, he found himself a prisoner of war in his own country, all alone in a prison cell, cut off from his fiance and his family and his friends. Bonhoeffer wrote. And one of the things he wrote was a poem. He wrote a poem in the form of a prayer. Listen in part to what he wrote. In me, O God, there is darkness. I am lonely. I am feeble in heart. In me, there is bitterness, for I do not understand your ways, O Lord. At that moment, Bonhoeffer's world was one of anxiety and fear. The darkness and fear described in Bonhoeffer's poem are certainly no strangers to us. Well, today is Palm Sunday. And earlier in our service, we read this passage about Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Now, if ever there was a day in Jesus' life and ministry that he should have been afraid, it was Palm Sunday. As he goes into Jerusalem, he is realizing the reality while everyone else is seeing a perception of reality. Everyone else, the disciples and all the people gathered around the street that day who were waving palm branches and laying their cloaks on the road, all of them were looking at Jesus and they were thinking he was just about to start a revolution. He would overthrow Rome, they thought, and Israel would finally be free. For them, his entry into Jerusalem was just the beginning. But for Jesus, he knows all by himself, riding in that day, that he is facing not a revolution, but pain and torture and crucifixion and death. In the midst of all the festivities of Palm Sunday, Jesus alone solemnly recognizes that this is not the beginning of his rule on earth. This is the end of his earthly ministry. He is about to die, and it is going to be a cruel, horrible, painful death. Jesus knows that. But he doesn't seem to be afraid. When you read those 11 verses in chapter 11 of Mark's gospel, there is no sense whatsoever in that passage that Jesus fears what he is facing. It seems that matter-of-factly, he approaches the horror and the terror that is just before him. Now, maybe Jesus was afraid, and we just don't know. We do know he experienced many human emotions. He was sad at times. He was angry at times. He was hungry. Maybe he was afraid here in this passage. We don't know. But in many ways, I think on Palm Sunday, Jesus is demonstrating what he taught his disciples about fear. In Luke's gospel, listen to what he said to his disciples about fear. He said this, "I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who will kill the body and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should be afraid of or whom you should fear. Fear the one who, after killing the body, has the power to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear God." Now, that sounds strange at first, right? Fear God. God's message to us as human beings almost always is fear not. Do not be afraid. Almost every time an angel appears in Scripture, the first words out of their mouth are fear not. Do not be afraid. But Jesus says here, you do not need to be afraid of the things of this world, but you do need to fear God. Well, what does that mean? It's easier in some ways to say what fearing God is not. Fearing God does not mean that we choose to stay away from God because we're uncomfortable being in God's presence. No. Fearing God means that we have the highest respect and regard for God. It means that we recognize God's holiness and majesty and authority. Fearing God means that we stand in awe when we are in God's presence. You know, that's exactly what Paul was writing about in his letter to the Christians in Philippi when he said, we are to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. What he means is this. We are to recognize the holiness and the majesty of this God who grants us salvation. Don't take that gift of salvation for granted because God doesn't have to give it to any of us. God has the power, Jesus reminds us, to cast us into hell. But instead, God has provided us with the means of abundant and eternal life. That gift has to be cherished, and God is to be respected and revered. You know, I was thinking this week that I'm not sure that we as Christians today fear God the way Christians of the past did. Why would I say that? Well, decades ago, certainly centuries ago, preachers constantly preached on hell, the fires of hell, the torture of hell, the gnashing of teeth, the eternal damnation. Those who attended church heard as much about the tortures of hell on most Sundays as they did the blessings of the saved and redeemed in heaven. There was a constant reminder, refrain in the church about the power and the authority and the majesty of God. But today, that pendulum has swung in the other direction. And sometimes it seems that we have completely abandoned the message that was expressed in the fire and brimstone preaching of yesteryear. Perhaps today we have focused so much on God's love and grace and mercy and forgiveness that inadvertently we have neglected God's power and majesty and authority in our lives. Let me ask you, have we forgotten what it means to fear God? Have we forgotten how important that is in our life? Jesus says, fear the one who has the power to cast you into hell. Fear God. In other words, we cannot live a meaningful Christian life without the strong reality of a healthy fear of God. And here's why. Because as Jesus describes it, and what we understand here is the fear, the respect, the awe, the majesty of God, this fear of God, when we accept that and we bring that into our lives, that fear and respect and awe and majesty of God in our lives drives out all worldly fears. We are reminded when we bring in that love and majesty of God that the very one who has the power to cast us into hell has made it possible that we might be saved. This very one has said to us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, that's Jesus riding into Jerusalem. Fear God. Respect, majesty, awe of God. And when that is a part of your life, there is no need to fear anything else. Fear of God, Jesus describes, is not the child before the parents awaiting a spanking or punishment. It's not that kind of fear. The fear of God is not the kind of fear that drives us to hide from God and keeps us separate from God, like Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden once they sinned. No. It is rather the fear that drives us to seek God, bringing us ever closer to God, knowing that without God's presence, we cannot help to effectively face life at all. We do not have the kind of fear that is characteristic of the emotion of someone who expects to be punished. But instead, our fear is recognizing the holiness and the majesty of the very one we dare to worship. We know that this holy, majestic, awesome God is a God of love, and our fear of the things of this world are then swallowed up in that love. We approach God with healthy fear, and God returns our fear with blessed assurance, with calming, comforting, loving presence. I ask you today, could it be that the skyrocketing rates of anxiety in our culture, in our world today, are because we have lost our fear of God? Could it be that today, the reason so many people are worried and so many people are anxious and so many people live their lives in fear is because instead of fearing God, we have turned our fear on the things of this world? It's like Bonhoeffer's prayer. Actually, when I read his prayer earlier, I left out a few phrases. These phrases need to be included. For in the hurt of that experience, Bonhoeffer not only confessed his fear and anxiety, but he also confessed his faith in a loving and caring God. For you see, yes, he prayed, "In me there is darkness, God." But he followed that line by saying, "But with you there is light." He went on, "I am lonely and afraid, but God, you do not leave me. I am feeble in heart, but with you there is help. I am restless, but with you there is peace. In me there is bitterness, but with you, Lord, there is patience. I do not understand your ways, but Lord, you know the way for me." In this life, the reality is there will be times when all of us are afraid. There are times in each of our lives, maybe even today for you, where life comes after us with snarling teeth and with thunderous roars. But Jesus says, in the times when you are afraid, remember this. The only thing you have to fear is God. The only thing you have to fear is God. And the very God who has the power and authority to cast you into hell wants nothing more than for you to live forever in his love and in his care. That is God's perfect love. And as scripture says, perfect love drives out all fear. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, this day we confess before you that there are times when our emotions and our humanness get the best of us. Lord, we know your word says that we need not fear. But Lord, there are times in life when fear is our overwhelming experience. Lord, help us to hear your word. Help us to experience your loving presence. And help us to know anytime we are afraid, that all we need to fear is you. So lead us and guide us in these ways, for we pray in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.